This is a poem by Mary Oliver called Some Questions You Might Ask. Is the soul solid like iron? Or is it tender and breakable, like the wings of a moth in the beak of an owl? Who has it and who doesn't? I keep looking around me. The face of the moose is as sad as the face of Jesus. The swan opens her white wings slowly. In the fall, the black bear carries leaves into the darkness. One question leads to another. Does it have a shape like an iceberg, like the eyes of a hummingbird? Does it have one lung like the snake and the scallop? Why should I have it and not the anteater who loves her children? Why should I have it and not the camel? Come to think of it, what about the maple trees? What about the blue iris? What about all the little stones sitting alone in the moonlight? What about roses and lemons and their shining leaves? What about the grass? So, if we are to talk about care of the soul, we first need to consider what we are talking about. Is there a soul? And if so, what is it? When I first saw the theme for this month, I immediately thought of the opening music we heard this morning. Soul of a Man by Bruce Cockburn is an updated version of an old blues tune by Blind Willie Johnson. And the title, of course, reflects the time it was created. At any rate, the song asks, what is the soul of the man? And the answer to that question continues to be a mystery to me. Bruce Cockburn suggests it may be nothing but a burning light, and that brought me to a consideration of the burning light of our CUC chalice. Is that a light? Is that light a metaphor for soul? And Mary Oliver, in the reading this morning, offered some questions you might ask. Is the soul solid like iron, or is it tender and breakable? Who has it and who doesn't? One question leads to another. What is soul? In this month's theme-based discussion group, every one of us thought of it differently. Tom Rapsis writes, according to the dictionary, soul is a person's moral or emotional nature, their sense of identity. But in reality, we know it's something that's indefinable. A soul can't be seen or touched. It can only be perceived within, and even then, its presence is often fleeting. It is located in a place so deep inside us, it can often be forgotten as we go about our busy lives. Then, in a quiet moment, or when we are immersed in or exposed to certain activities, the soul surprises us and makes itself known. It can be stirred to life by a book we are reading, by a piece of music we are listening to, even by a small act of kindness that catches us off guard. It can be awoken by something as simple as watering our houseplants, or looking out the window on a winter day and seeing a woodpecker land on the branch of a slumbering tree. In his introduction to the theme this month, Touchstone's moderator, Reverend Kirk Lodeman Copeland, offered some thoughts. Spirit and soul, energy and essence. In Hebrew, the word ruach means wind, breath, or spirit. The fact of our breathing is evidence that we are alive. And the Hebrew word nefesh means soul or living being. Some say that the spirit is what we have, and the soul is what we are. These two, along with mind and heart, are ingredients that make us uniquely human. Unitarian minister A. Powell Davies said that the purpose of life is to grow a soul. To say this is to suggest that at birth, there are many ways in which we can express our humanity as we grow, and some of these involve the essence of who we are. Do we literally have a soul? I really don't know, but the word is so evocative of our unique essence and potential. Like the snowflake, each one of us is one of a kind, existing in a moment of time. I use the word soul as a metaphor for the essence of our being. Former Catholic monk and Jungian therapist Thomas Moore has written a book called Care of the Soul that takes a similar approach. Moore says at the start he does not speak of a separate spirit entity when he refers to a soul. Instead, he means the characteristic essence created from the sum of the attributes of a person, animal, or inanimate thing. Soul is not a thing, says Moore, but a quality or dimension of experiencing life and ourselves. It has to do with depth, value, relatedness, heart, and personal substance. I do not use the word here as an object of religious belief or as something to do with immortality. To the soul, the ordinary is sacred. Now, in Faith and Theology, Care of the Soul, Reverend Wayne Arneson suggests, the soul is a messy thing for Unitarian Universalists. We are burdened by whatever childhood definitions or images of soul we have had imposed upon us or picked up by osmosis. We are handicapped by a vacuum of contemporary reflection on the soul by any scholars, theologians, or scientists that we trust, precisely because the word itself carries so much baggage. The burden of childhood definition we carry when it comes to the word soul is in the speculation about whether there is a material entity that is the essence of life. Now, some believers in the soul aren't interested in proving that the soul has a material existence. They may in fact believe that the soul is a non-material entity that does exist and that leaves the body upon death and goes on to heaven or hell. Some believers in the soul aren't sure about the heaven or hell part and don't want to restrict the soul to humans or even to conscious beings. They see the soul as the life spark that comes from God and animates all of life. And of course, some people don't believe in the soul at all, except as a superstition or a metaphor from literature and poetry. It's to poetry that we will often first turn in any meditation toward a common understanding of the soul. As we heard from Mary Oliver, one question leads to another. These questions touch us and stir our sense of mystery. They remind us how little we know of the world that is around us. Perhaps it is all right that there are some things about which we know little but a name. Care of the soul is an observance an honoring of the signposts, the scenery, the obstacles and companions of our inner journey. The soul feeds on the life around it. To the soul, the ordinary is sacred, and the everyday is the primary source of religion. For this reason, any community that is concerned with soul must recognize the connection between soul, daily life, and spirituality. The soul needs a vivid spiritual life that keeps it connected to the outside world. For some of us, soul is an important word, says Parker J. Palmer. But it is a word to be held lightly, in open hands. It points to the mystery at the heart of being human, a mystery known by many names, whose true name no one knows. Now, secular humanists call it identity and integrity. Hasidic Jews call it the spark of the divine in every being. Thomas Merton called it true self. And Quakers call it the inner light. Buddhists call it, paradoxically, no self, or anatta. From a Buddhist perspective, there is nothing that in an ultimate sense can be regarded as a self-existing real ego identity, soul, or any other abiding substance. What you call it doesn't matter, but that you call it something matters a great deal. When we fail to name and celebrate the being in human being, we are more likely to treat each other like objects, commodities, or machines. In an era of nonstop violence to the human self, we must lift up the fact that everyone has an inviolable, sacred core. And to me, this speaks to our first principle, in which we affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. The inner life of persons that is part of the domain of the soul is the meeting point of the psychological and the spiritual. This means that soul care, which draws on the best insights of modern therapeutic psychology, as well as the pre-modern understandings and practices of the care of persons, will never again accept the artificial distinction of the psychological and spiritual. A proper understanding of the soul reunites the psychological and the spiritual in such a way that care touches the deepest levels of people's inner lives. It is important to recognize that the nature of the soul defies precise cartography. If maps of the soul eliminate mystery, they also eliminate the soul. We need to be prepared, therefore, for definitions that may seem vague and boundaries that appear hazy. Spirit and mystery are closely connected. While not everything that is mysterious is spiritual, the genuinely spiritual always retains an element of mystery. Maps of the soul should not, therefore, be expected to eliminate the mystery that is inevitably a part of the psycho-spiritual nature of persons. Our journey toward an understanding of the soul and its care must begin with an exploration of the inner world of beings. So the care of the soul is important work. It is at the heart of self-care. Without it, we are diminished in many ways. M. Scott Peck wrote, "Life is difficult, and love is the will to extend oneself for the purpose of nurturing one's own or another's spiritual growth." The care of the soul is also self-love, not as narcissism, but as a means to greater empathy. In this regard, then, care of the soul is a means of both deepening connections and caring for community. Thomas More writes, "Just as the mind digests ideas and produces intelligence, the soul feeds on life and digests it, creating wisdom and character out of experience." And this wisdom and character is crucial for deepening connections. Ultimately, one of the best ways to take care of our souls is to build a society that supports rather than undermines our highest moral and spiritual intuitions and inclinations. Yet building that society can never be divided from the daily practices through which we live out our ethical and spiritual lives, both in the way we treat others around us and the way we nourish the divine within us. Now, soul remains a mystery to me, and the Buddhist concept of anatta, or no soul, no self, make a lot of sense to me. But as a metaphor for the essence of my being, I continue to explore that mystery. This morning, we've heard many hints about the mystery of the soul and its care. And over the past few months, we've explored many topics such as mindfulness, acceptance, mystery, and so on. For me, all of these flow together as part of the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part. And the more I practice mindfulness and acceptance of the world as it is, the more connected I feel to the presence of mystery, of the mystery of what I think of as soul. Now, we all have to follow our own path in the search for the truth and meaning of soul. In the words of Chris Williamson, "Let the light in, it will heal you." Whether it be a burning light, or a spark, or a metaphor, we all have to explore our own way of caring for our souls. And may it be so, and may we help make it so.